This morning, we are going to be in Romans 5. I'm missing some letters in my endurance right there. But that is okay. So we're talking about endurance this morning. I'm going to start off with a story. Not as many stories as last week, I don't think, but we'll see. Y'all can keep track. So the story is, on a consumer flight from Portland, Maine to Boston in the summer of 1987, the pilot heard an unusual noise near the rear of the aircraft. Henry Dempsey turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket, and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered that the source of the mysterious noise, it was the rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it fell open. Dempsey was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light of the control panel that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He had reported that Dempsey had fallen out of the plane and requested that a helicopter be dispatched to search the area of the ocean. After the plane had landed, the ground crew found Henry Dempsey holding onto the outer door ladder of the aircraft. Somehow, he caught the ladder and he managed to hold on for 10 minutes as the plane flew 200 miles per hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet. What is more, as the plane made its approach and landed, Dempsey was able to keep his head from hitting the runway a mere 12 inches away. According to news reports, it took several airport personnel more than a few minutes to pry the pilot's fingers from the ladder, which is understandable. So this is a great picture of endurance, the ability to hang on when it would have been easier just to let go. Many people are blessed with certain attributes, but endurance jumps to the forefront for success in any endeavor. Endurance is the key that keeps us from giving up and letting go. Endurance, the power of going on in spite of difficulties. Popular conversational phrases describe it as, keep on hanging on, or hang in there, or put up with it, or just don't quit. Simple as that. Its synonyms are determination, perseverance, tenacity, stamina, and backbone. Okay? When endurance is used in the Bible, it means to abide under, to bear up courageously, and to tarry and wait. Henry Dempsey would just say it's holding on for dear life. The Bible considers endurance as a priority. Paul expressed its importance in character development. And so I'm going to read Romans 5 for us this morning. And I'm starting in verse 3 and going to verse 5. It says, not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. We also see that the writer of Hebrews also knew that perseverance was mandatory in the pursuit of character. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. The following practical secrets will enable you to develop endurance. So this morning, I have 4 points that we can learn to help us in our endurance. So, point number one this morning is accept the unchangeable. Accept those things in life that cannot be changed, Okay? We have to face it. Some events and circumstances in our life are inevitable. They're going to happen no matter what we do. We really don't have much control on them. Sometimes life just doesn't seem fair to us. Injustices creep into everyone's arena. Sometimes, in one way or another, we fall out of maybe an unlocked airplane door. Okay? It may seem like that. For me, and I hope for you as well, it helps us to remember that God is in charge of our lives. His desire is for us to grow in the likeness of His Son. So whatever enters our life, maybe unfavorable circumstances, maybe it's tragic events, maybe it's irritating people, it's for the development of our character, okay? I did want to put a plug in for irritating people. Maybe you're a Kansas State fan and you have to put up with KU fans. Or a Wichita State fan. I'm a Wichita State fan too. But be it good, bad, or indifferent, or response to life's irritants, forms, or characters. So, the oyster and its pearl provide a beautiful picture of positive responses to life's irritants. So, the idea of the pearl is a product of pain, okay? An alien substance, a grain of sand, slips inside the oyster shell. On the entry of that foreign irritant, all the resources within the oyster, the tiny sensitive oyster, rush to the spot and begin to release healing fluids that otherwise would have remained dormant, okay? Eventually, the irritant is covered and the wound healed by a pearl. No other gem has such a fascinating history, okay? It's a symbol of stress. The precious tiny jewel is produced through irritation, but it's born through adversity, okay? Had there been no wounding, no irritating interruption, there could have been no pearl. James, in his book, put it like this in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. He says, "My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not defiant in anything." So, this brings us to our second point. Point number 2 is adjust to the obstacles. So, a young naval captain was commanding his first battleship, okay? As it pierced through the ocean one night, a light was spotted in the darkened distance coming directly towards the ship. The commander radioed. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees. After a short time, a reply came. It said, "No, you alter your course 10 degrees. The undaunted captain, newly in his commander, was a little big-headed, and he angrily sent back another message saying, "Alter your course. I am a destroyer." The reply came very quickly after that. It said, "Alter your course. I am a lighthouse." So, sometimes we have to adjust to things in our way to fit the realities of life. The lighthouse isn't moving anywhere, is it? The ship can move. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22:3, "A sensible person sees danger and takes cover, but the inexperienced keep going and are punished." We can be like that sometimes. We can think other people need to change to how we are. But at the end of the day, we need to change how God is. Some circumstances are unavoidable. Disappointments are certain. Obstacles are sure. Losses will occur. The person with endurance acknowledges the roadblocks and they make adjustments. When the obstacles of life are stacked before us, we can adjust by going around. We could adjust by climbing over, or we could adjust by tunneling under. But the big question remains, are we willing to allow encroachments to distort and disfigure our life? Because when things happen to us, something's going to change. Are there circumstances in our life or people in our life that have been trying to change us or have us change? Why not transform these obstacles and growth into growth blocks by learning to adjust? And I think that's what we're called to do as believers, is to adjust. When we adjust to the detours of life, God reveals some of his marvelous handiwork off the beaten trail. For me, every Sunday I want to kind of share a little bit about me or my family and our journey. And part of my journey after high school is I moved many places. And from Texas, I went to Indiana. Indiana, I went back to Texas. Texas, I went to Colorado. From Colorado, I went to Vermont. From Vermont, I went to Nebraska. From Nebraska, I went to Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, now I'm here in Kansas. If you would have asked me if that was my plan growing up, I would have said absolutely not. I mean, that just was not on my radar. But that's kind of how God took me. And that was his journey for my life. And I can see these growths, these little pockets of growth in my life each and every place I went. I wouldn't have met my wife if I would not move to Vermont at one point in my life. And there's many people I've met, and I have all these connections from different travels in different places I live that I see these connections of people, and it's interesting to see those. And I wouldn't have had those if I would have not listened to God. So don't think of an adjustment. So I had to adjust. So don't think of an adjustment as a failure. Think of it as an education. That's what I eventually learned as I moved and moved and moved. And I kept asking God, like, I just want to stay put. I want to stay somewhere. But that was not what God wanted at the time in my life. We have to hang on. We have to see what God has in store for us around the next bend in the road. Okay? So, point number three is abide with patience. You can do anything if you have patience. You can carry water in a colander if you wait for it to freeze. That's what someone said, some wise person said one time. Unfortunately, most of us don't have that kind of patience. When we need it, we usually lift up a prayer. It typically goes something like this: Lord, give me patience, and I want it now. I would like to receive the patience now, which doesn't work. But one can learn patience by listening to a sermon. One cannot learn patience by listening to a sermon, unless the sermon is so long that you have to practice patience while listening to it. And I want to promise you guys, this is not one of those sermons. Okay? Nor can you learn patience by reading a book, unless that book is so boring that you have to muster up patience to finish it, which I typically do not have the endurance to do. I just close it. The only way to learn patience is by facing the hurly-burly world, taking life as it comes. It's holding on, gritting our teeth, clenching our jaw, riding out the storm, enduring through it all. In the Greek language, the term for patience is often translated to long-suffering. Okay? It's a compound word, So the first part means long or far. The second part means hot, anger, wrath. So when we put it all together, we literally have long anger, one would say. We actually have an English expression mean of short-tempered that we use. I don't think we'd be missing the mark a lot if we called patience long-tempered. So patience is the ability that keeps us from blowing up when events don't go our way or losing our cool when others upset us. So believers are expected, as us as believers, we're expected to show patience. James shared, "So be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord return. Think of how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the ground and is patient for it until it receives the early and late grains. You also be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the Lord's return is near." So James shows how the farmer demonstrates patience. I don't know how many of you guys are farmers. Coming from Western Oklahoma, I knew many farmers. And that was very high on their prayer request every Sunday. "Lord, give us rain. Lord, we ask for rain. Father, please bring us rain." And that was just something that they relied on. These farmers, that was their income. That was their way of life. And so everything revolved around their crops. And it's interesting, kind of before being immersed in that kind of culture growing up in Texas, I didn't really, these kind of verses didn't impact me the same way as they do now. I see that and I get it a little bit. Have I ever been into a field and done anything? No. No one ever invited me, but I probably would have gone and messed something up if they did, but yeah. So a farmer cannot make it rain. He cannot give growth. He must rely on God to act in the most wise, merciful way. Does it make sense to him every time? Will it make sense to us every time? Absolutely not. The secret of patience is abiding. We must learn to rest in endurance under the load of pain and suffering. We abide under the load of pain and suffering by abiding with God who is faithful. We must not only learn to abide in Christ, but also to abide in Christ under the struggles and pressures in life. We're going to have them. What a better time to turn to God in those times. So, this brings us to our last point, which is affirm the presence. As we progress toward a life that resembles Jesus Christ, we must always remember that God is with us. Sometimes God is like a teacher instructing us with the development of our lives. Sometimes God is a fellow worker challenging us to excel in excellence. Sometimes God is a spectator encouraging us to keep on keeping on. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, though, God is always with us. So growing up, I always loved basketball. I'm a tall guy. People usually think I played basketball, and they were right. But I remember that has always been my favorite sport. So whenever I got old enough in high school to play competitively, I was all in. And so, just to tell you guys, I by far probably had the most minutes on the varsity team, okay, for sitting on the bench, okay? Even though I'm tall, I was much smaller than I am now. I was a twig. I had no coordination. I couldn't run fast. I didn't understand that I had long legs and I can just spread them out farther apart and I can go faster. That didn't click to me yet. But to say that even though I wasn't very good, I still wanted to play. I still wanted to be on the team. But if you're on the team, you gotta go to the practices. And the practices were hard. We had just gotten a new coach, and when a new coach comes, he wants to engrave into his team or his team how he does things. So we had really long practices my freshman year. That's when he came. And I just remember these long, grueling basketball practices. And most of the time we were running. The gym was not air conditioned. It was just kind of, it was a lot. We'd have to shoot baskets. We have to do all these drills. And it was just constant. And many times I wasn't getting home till almost 6:30 at night that freshman year. It was just, they were super long practices. Well, I would find that my body and my legs would throb. My side would hurt with splitting pain. My chest pounded like it was going to pop out usually after practices. I wanted to quit, but I wanted to play even though I wasn't playing. I wanted to be there with the team. But something happened. My body provided a miraculous, gracious replenishing of energy known as a second wind. My body adjusted to what I needed to do to stay in practice and do all that stuff. So as we run toward a distinctive life of character, we will experience a similar feeling, okay? Getting started possesses no problem. We get bogged down as the race continues. That's what happens. A time comes when our personal resources are exhausted, okay? Yet, as we endure, God seems to give us a spiritual second wind sometimes, okay? I really liked this from Isaiah. He described this miracle. He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an eternal God, the creator of the whole earth. He does not get tired or weary. There is no limit to his wisdom. He gives strength to those who are tired. To the ones who lack power, he gives renewed energy. Even youths get tired and weary. Even strong young men clumsily stumble. But those who wait for the Lord's help find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. They run without growing weary. They walk without getting tired." That's Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. So for us, the secret is found in affirming God's presence. When the world says give up, drop out, when the world says to run away, God says to trust me. God tells us to lean on me. God wants us to fall into his arms. God is with you to support you and sustain you. Church, I want you to just remember that. God is with you to support you and sustain you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you courage and strength to continue in all that we do. He has a promise. He has promised, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." There was a famous concert pianist and prime minister in Poland. And he was given this this opportunity to do a series of concerts. He was a pianist. A mother, wishing to encourage her young son's progress at the piano, bought tickets for a performance. When the night arrived, they found their seats near the front of the concert hall and eyed the majestic Steinway waiting on stage. The mother spotted a friend in the audience and worked down the aisle to greet her. Seizing the opportunity, like I know my boys would, they took the opportunity to explore the wonders of the concert hall. The little boy eventually made his way through a door marked "No Admittance." Well, when the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returned to her seat and discovered that the child was missing. Suddenly, the curtains open. The spotlight focuses on the impressive Steinway on stage. Well, in horror, of course, the mother saw her little boy sitting at the keyboard, innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. His mother gasped, but before she could retrieve her son, the great piano master appeared on the stage and quickly moved to the keyboard. He whispered to the boy, "Don't quit, keep playing." Leaning over, he reached down with his left hand and began filling in a bass part. Soon, his right arm reached around the other side, encircling the child to add a running obbligato. I probably butchered that. Together, the old master and the young novice held the crowd mesmerized. So, in our quest for contagious character, unpolished and incomplete though we may be, it is the master who surrounds us and whispers in our ear, time and time again, "Don't quit, keep playing." And as we do, he adds and supplements until a work of amazing beauty is created. What we can accomplish on our own is hardly noteworthy. We try our best, but the results aren't exactly graceful, flowing music. I know typically in my life that's the case. But with the hand of the master, our character can truly be beautiful. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do things that we couldn't do before. Our responsibility is to not quit, okay? To keep playing. His part is to fashion a masterpiece in our life, okay? Preaching is not something I'm amazing at, but God is using me in a way that I hope touches people. Remember, God doesn't call the equipped, okay? He equips the called. And he'll always be there to love and to guide you to great things. As Joan comes up, as I close. So maybe you're here this morning and you're finding it hard to endure. Maybe you're here this morning and you're tired of trying to live for Christ. Maybe you're feeling like giving up on the Christian life. I just want to give you an encouragement this morning to roll up your sleeves and to get back in there. Remember, don't do it alone. We don't have to. That's the joy. God is right beside you, waiting for you to hand over your life to Him. Remember, endurance prevails. James 1:12 says, "Happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has proven to be genuine, he will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him." Remember, we are not a failure until we give up. We are not a flop until we let go. Endurance maintains the stamina needed to see the end and embrace the prize. So, fight another round. Rise another time, and above all, like Henry Dempsey, don't let go. I'm going to close in prayer, and we will close with a song this morning.